Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast for the week of January 5th through 12th. We are not quite in the new year yet, but we are debuting our first issue of 2009, and it features a new design. It's the first time in 10 years that America has redesigned the print publication. And in honor of that, this week we sat down with Father Jim Martin and Matt Malone, Scholastic here at America, to discuss the new design and how it compares to earlier versions of the magazine.
Hello, this is Tim Reedy. I'm here in the Lafarge Lounge of America House with Father Jim Martin and Matt Malone, Scholastic here at America. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much.
We're here to talk about the new design of the magazine, which is debuting in 2009 with our January 5th through 12th edition. First, we're going to begin by talking, giving a little history of how America has developed in terms of design over the last 10 years or so. Now, Father Jim, we're going to start with you. You were here, you've been here for some 10 or 12 years?
Mm-hmm, 10 years.
10 years. And what did the magazine look like when you first got here?
Well, when I was here as a regent, which is what Matt Malone is now, was 1995, and we weren't using illustrations really at all on the inside of the magazine. The cover would have maybe a logo or a very simple sort of typeface, and the paper's quality was really kind of down, and really it wasn't a very attractive-looking product. And so when Tom Reese came in 1998 and I came back after my theology studies, one of the first things we did was to decide to redesign the magazine, which started a big process back then.
So maybe you could lead us through that process briefly. You brought in, obviously, photographs was one of the first things you did.
Yeah, it was interesting. We certainly knew that we wanted to bring in full-color photographs on the cover and in the issue itself. But more to the point, we wanted to redesign the look of the magazine and give it an attractive typeface and layout. So what we did was myself and the woman who was the art director at the time, Kim Kowalski, went through various magazines on our own and tried to pick out elements that we liked. And we put together a kind of mock-up and then brought in a consultant who worked for Time Magazine at the time, who was sort of led us through the rest of the process. So essentially, we also included the signs of the times, which people know. So essentially, we tried to make it a little friendlier, a little more readable, and we upped the page, the sort of paper quality, made it whiter and shinier, and you know, brought it to the place where people recognize it today, where there's a lot of color photos, a lot of illustration. But you know, people say you should redesign every 5 years, and we were long overdue, which is where Matt came in a couple months ago.
Now, Matt, you've been here just a short time during your regency period, but we've done a lot since you've been here. Maybe you can lead us through how you started this process.
Well, we were coming up on the centennial in 2009, celebrating the 100th anniversary of America, and we were looking for ways to do that, how we were going to mark the occasion. And I said that, you know, it seemed to me that by industry standards, we were long overdue for a redesign. And a redesign could also, send a signal to our readers that this is a time to celebrate all of our history, all that's great about America, but also that it's a time to look forward, you know, to adapt to a changing society. The last time that we went through this redesign, I think a lot of the labor was done in house, and here we did do a bit of the labor in-house, but we decided that given the resources as they're currently constituted at the magazine, that we would look to someone else to implement what our vision. And so we turned to Ken Sylvia of Ken Sylvia Design in Boston, who's a nationally recognized designer, and was on the staff of Boston Magazine and Inc. Magazine, and taught at the Radcliffe Design Institute. And the editorial board met several times over a period of several months and talked about what it was that, first of all, you know, to get a collective idea of, you know, what we thought that what kind of new direction we ought to take in terms of the design and how radical a new direction that we ought to take. And then, you know, to look at the specific elements, at the specific parts of the magazine and whether anything ought to change. And then, you know, we gave that information to Ken, who then implemented that, and we had a long series of back and forth conversations about that, fine-tuning, you know, the various elements.
Now, obviously, this is a recorded conversation, so it's hard for you to see this, but maybe, Father Jim, you can just kind of describe what you see as some of the continuities between the old design and the new design, and what are some of the major changes?
Sure. You know, I think people will recognize the magazine. I think that's the first thing. It doesn't look like Maxim magazine or anything that's kind of outlandish. Not that Maxim is outlandish, but the design is very familiar. But it's a significant improvement over where we were 10 years ago. I remember someone said in 1999 when the new issue came out, it looks like a real magazine. You know, which is what we were sort of aiming for. Now I think you could say it looks like a very good magazine. People will be able to see that Matt and Ken Sylvia, who is the actual designer, really has, you know, they've done a great job in terms of making it look crisp and clean. I would say that people will probably first notice the typeface. The typeface is a lot different, a lot cleaner than it had been before, and most of all, maybe even more than that, the photos. We have our lead article in our first issue, which is on vocation, starts off with a page and a half spread for the photo. I mean, it's very bold and very dramatic. It's kind of hard to, I think Matt would be better at kind of talking about the particulars, but I would say when people look at the magazine, they're going to say, this is a very professional job. This looks like a very good, high-quality magazine that could really compete or, you know, hold its head high against any other magazine on the newsstand. And it's really, I think, very important for people to understand that, you know, we're trying to be as professional as possible, not only in our layout, but also in all of our writing, our editing, all of that. And so I think that the look of the magazine conveys that sense of purpose and seriousness. And I just think it's fabulous. And I also think one more thing, you really can tell that a professional was in charge of this. You know, when Kim and I did it in 1999, we did our best and brought in someone kind of at the end. You can tell that a professional has been in charge of this, you know, this project just from opening up the pages of the new issue.
Now, in one of our meetings with Ken, Matt, he talked about the importance of kind of rhythm and pacing and kind of building to the lead article. Maybe you can talk about what he's trying to achieve there.
Yeah, it's a design system called 1-2-3. I suppose it's not a terribly inventive name, but what it means is that you ought to, just by looking at the page, without even reading the words, you ought to the reader ought to immediately sense what is most important, what is of secondary importance, and what is of tertiary importance, and that should not only be clear on the when you're looking at the page, but it ought to be clear as you're paging through the magazine, so that the editors, in a sense, are taking the reader visually on this tour through the magazine. And what we had before was we had a lot of, in the old design, we'd sort of gotten to a point where we had a lot of 1-1-1 or 1-2-2-1, instead of that kind of 1-2-3, that kind of visual rhythm that, that, you know, is important, I think, and allows us to kind of, in a sense, to narrate, to have a visual narration throughout the book for the reader. One of the things that was really important to us, and which is why I'm glad that Jim, you know, mentioned what we did 10 years ago, was we wanted to have a design, a look that was an essential continuity with all that came before it, but also indicated change. What we didn't want a radical departure, right? We didn't want to become something radically new, because that's that you know, we're celebrating our centennial. But at the same time, we wanted something to be kind of crisp, fresh, and perhaps even fun, where it was appropriate. And also, there were two major editorial decisions that were made by the editors. One was to expand the Signs of the Times and to readjust that content. The Signs of the Times, of course, is that section in the front of the magazine that is basically our news section. And the editors felt that we should expand that section from 2 pages to 3, that the front of that section ought to have sort of more analysis of news, and that there ought to be a middle section where there are shorter news stories, and then a final section within Signs of the Times. So it was just, you know, basic pieces of information, news that we thought our readers might want to know. And so, in a sense, the Signs of the Times, both visually and editorially, most resembles this principle of 1-2-3, because where before the Signs of the Times was editorially and visually kind of flat, and now there's several different kinds of information presented in several different formats.
Now, you mentioned the Signs of the Times. The other big editorial change to the new design is the books and culture section. We've, of course, always had book reviews, but now we're introducing this section of the book with a lead culture column and review, which will be, that section will be edited by Father Jim, so maybe you can introduce that to our readers.
Sure. It's called Books and Culture. Pat Kossman, who's been our literary editor for the last 10 years, will continue to be a literary editor and will be reviewing probably about three books every issue, which is what she's been doing. But the editors felt that we needed to expand our coverage of culture, which would include movies, theater, television, music, the fine arts, and also ideas. And Drew Christensen, our editor, asked me to helm that, as we used to say in the corporate world. And I was happy to do it because I'm very interested in that. So, you know, upcoming, we have a review that I did of a new mosaic that's just been installed at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield. We have a review by Michael Tuith, one of our film reviewers, of the movie Doubt. Karen Smith did a review of George Tooker's art. And basically, over the last couple of months, what I've been doing is trying to kind of build up a stable of writers. And we will have a culture piece in every issue, sometimes two. And I think, you know, we have been not as good as we could be in covering that in the magazine. I mean, we're very good in terms of covering politics, policy, the church, spirituality, prayer. But the idea of Catholic culture and the way that the arts can speak to Catholics and Christians is something that we really wanted to beef up. So that will be a significant departure for us. And whereas before, we might have had a film review by our lead film reviewer, Dick Blake, maybe every few months. Now we'll have something in every single issue on the arts, which I'm very excited about. And I hope readers will sort of respond to.
Now, that's also going to impact the way we present arts on the web, and we'll get to that in a moment. But first, Matt, I thought perhaps you could speak to, this is obviously an interest of mine, a lot of people, when they're redesigning print magazines these days, they have the web in the back of their mind, and the way that people are accessing information and reading information on the web. Did that play a part at all in the design process?
Sure, it did. One of the things that we knew we wanted to address was how web content is integrated into the print edition. We have a pretty clear idea of how to integrate the content from the print edition into the web, but we hadn't done it. We hadn't done the inverse of that because 10 years ago it just simply wasn't a concern. And then over the last few years, you know, we have gradually introduced elements in the print edition that highlight content that's on the web and sort of helping to direct our readers over there. To me, it always struck me as something that was kind of tacked on, certainly visually. It was something that sort of we just sort of inserted into a pre-existing system, and you know it sort of looked and felt that way. And so what we wanted to do in the redesign was, in the places where we were drawing the attention of the reader to the content on the web or linking the content in the print edition to the content on the web, we wanted to do it more seamlessly. And to really integrate the two more, and so I think we've done that. We've introduced some interesting design elements, you know, that I think successfully achieve that visual integration.
I think that's a really good word, because what happens generally, and I remember the designer that we had in telling us this. Over the course of a couple of years, what happens is as you add new features to the magazine, so for example, the on the web feature, and you change things, it does end up looking tacked on, and there is not the sense of integration. So for example, our table of contents, which we tried very hard and which our former designer, Tatiana Borodina, did a good job on, never really felt like it was integrated into the whole. And so you have to have these redesigns in order to kind of reposition everything and kind of make it seamless, as Matt said. And I think people, especially with the table of contents, you know, will notice that it really fits nicely into the magazine. There's nothing that looks like it's kind of an add-on. Everything sort of fits. And frankly, it makes it a lot easier to read and to navigate your way through the magazine.
I'd also say that the principle, that the 1-2-3 principle, which of course is the architectural foundation of the web, right? Certainly visually, you know, was our guiding principle here. And so there is a sense in which this is a print design that's clearly within the context of a of an internet age.
The other thing is that as our new publisher, Jan Attridge, is always reminding us, America is not simply a magazine. It's a communications ministry. And so the print edition of the magazine is now connected more clearly and overtly to the web, to the online, and vice versa. You can talk a little bit about the possible redesign that's happening on the web as well.
Sure. Well, you talk about how redesigns happen, every 5 or 7 years in the print business. On the web, it's much faster than that because the technology changes so quickly. So we redesigned in May of 2007, and we saw this as an opportunity to do kind of a 2.0 version, an updating that won't look too radical, but will clearly echo the changes in the print design. Now, we're going to be a little behind the curve here. We're not going to get out and debut with the print edition, but we hope to be up in a month or so. But basically, we highlight the culture section. That becomes an important part, the signs of the times as well. And we also bring up some of the web-only content, the blogs in particular, to make them more prominent, because that's the reason often people visit us on a daily basis, is for that daily commentary. You can look for that, and you can look for the new print redesign in the January 5th through 12th edition of America. And we want to thank both Father Jim and Matt Malone for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the American Magazine podcast. Just a reminder that if you're a subscriber to the magazine, you can get an early look at our new issue by simply clicking on the PDF image on the homepage, and that will allow you to access the full copy of the new redesign. I want to thank again Bill McGarvey for providing the music for this week's show. You can learn more about him at billmcgarvey.com. This is Tim Reedy for American Magazine.